You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host, Colton Molesky, here in the studio, bringing you more daily NBA content. I'm actually flying solo today. First time in a while that I have gone on by myself, but you know what? I'm going to bring you just a real personal podcast. We got a lot to go over, so it's just going to be you and I, the listener and I, just hammering out some basketball stuff before we dive into the NBA season once again. That's right. We have regular season basketball again tonight. The break is officially over tonight. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for basketball again. I love watching basketball. I love watching the NBA. And as good as the break I hope will be for a bunch of teams, including the Timberwolves, I'm excited to have the NBA back. Couple of things. We're going to go over a bunch of stuff. I'm going to look back at some top NBA games that I remember coming out of the break to get you jazzed up for the NBA action tonight. I'm going to go over just some anticipation stuff for what I hope the Timberwolves will have coming out of the break, as well as looking ahead to some of their stuff first, or looking ahead to some of their scheduling first. I want to talk about just some of the things I think when I walk away from this All-Star break, the 2018 All-Star break, just some things 5-10 years down the road I will still I'll still remember, and I'll still carry with me. I had three things that I will probably still remember about this All-Star break 5-10 years down the road. Excuse me, I'm fresh off my morning cup of coffee. I just got to clear out the throat a little bit, but you got to start out the day with a good cup of Joe. So the first thing when I'm looking at the 2018 All-Star break is that I am still in love with the dunk contest. I'll still remember the Donovan Mitchell dunk. I know that they went a little throwback this year, and a lot of people, it was a mixed review on the throwback with the Vince Carter, and a lot of people liked Larry Nance Jr. and his tribute to his father wearing his jersey doing his dunk. And he had the nice double tap off the backboard dunk as well. A lot of people mixed bag reviews on Donovan Mitchell wearing the Vince Carter jersey, especially since he doesn't even play for the Raptors. I liked it. I liked the throwback and the tribute. I really liked the Dennis Smith Jr. dunk. I know it wasn't an all-time dunk contest, and I know that maybe it seemed a little rehashed with people redoing some old-school dunks. I was fine with it. I'm a sucker for the dunk contest. I'll remember the Dennis Smith Jr. dunk. I'll remember Larry Nance Jr. doing his dad's dunk. I'll remember Victor Oladipo, not Oladipo. People criticize me about that, and I know there's no N. I realize that. Just one of those mental blocks that I have of the many. Oladipo doing the dunk with the Black Panther mask on. Not necessarily that was a great dunk, but it was funny that he did the Black Panther mask, especially with the hype around that movie. I'll remember the dunk contest. Again, I'm a sucker for it, but I always remember the dunk contest coming out of the All-Star breaks, and I always enjoy and appreciate each one for little things that happen throughout them. I'll remember that. I'll remember the Fergie National Anthem. I think it's really funny when NBA Twitter really digs into roasting a particular aspect of either somebody's game, of something that happens on or off the court, whether it's during play or not, a national anthem, a coach, whatever it is. When the collective NBA Twitter can really dig in and roast somebody, it's usually pretty funny and pretty rewarding, just as somebody like myself kind of standing on the sidelines and just taking it all. It's usually pretty funny, especially during the All-Star break when the entire NBA fan base is gathered at one spot like they are for the All-Star break. So I enjoyed going over NBA Twitter when that was happening. It truly was a terrible national anthem. And you know what? Sometimes you can appreciate the really terrible stuff when it is in the context of a national anthem, as well as the really good stuff like a really great dunk. The third thing I will remember coming out of this break is it felt like the new system kind of worked. it kind of felt like the new system worked. It really felt like in the fourth quarter, Team LeBron really wanted to pull out and win that game. It made for some really fun combinations. I really liked seeing Westbrook and LeBron play together. Probably was the key there, but it was also fun to see Joel Embiid and Curry play on the same team. I really like the combinations it created, but I think moreover it worked. I think that style really worked, just because it really felt like Team LeBron, especially LeBron James, didn't want to lose with a team that had his name. And I don't know, maybe it was just me, maybe I'm way off base, but it felt like the new style for the All-Star game worked, and that there was a really concerted effort and care about who won and lost. And again, I made the case earlier in the week, the All-Star game is going to be always entertaining because those are the best players in basketball at the time, or at least you hope that they've selected the best players in basketball and gathered the top-tier athletes in the game for the All-Star game. And so that will always make it fun watching those studs play. But it really felt like LeBron James did not want to lose this game when the team was named after him and when he selected these guys, and there was a dedicated push at the end. I enjoyed it. And so those are the top three takeaways I have from the All-Star game, and those will probably carry with me 5-10 years down the road. Next thing I want to do in today's show is look at a few games that were, I would say, standout games after the All-Star break. So these aren't Timberwolves games. These are just on the first day back from the break. These are some of the games that stood out to me in my memory. Games that I remember going down that were really good, really fun watches right out of the break. And some games that I enjoy and can look back on and remember fondly. So the first one I had is February 19th, 2013. It was San Antonio Spurs on the road against the Sacramento Kings. And I know that the Kings don't have the most luxurious history, but this is one where I really enjoyed watching. I remember it sticking out to me because it was the battle of the quick finesse guards. Tony Parker with 30 points. He had Isaiah Thomas, who was on the Kings at the time, of course. He had 22 points. Tyreke Evans, he threw up 20. You had Danny Green with 21 points. He went 5-8 from the three-point range. This was a fun game. I remember this game just because I have always enjoyed watching guards, point guard-esque kind of players go back and forth, and I know that's not exactly a hot take. Tons of people love watching point guards, but I really love watching a good point guard battle. This was a great back and forth battle. The San Antonio Spurs, they never had a lead change. They led the entire time, but you had some good pushes. And when I say back and forth, it really just, there was some pushes from the Kings that they don't have every night because they've been terrible for a long time. But after a 28-19 first quarter with San Antonio Spurs leading, the Kings really played themselves back into this game, and they lost by six, but they played themselves back into this game. Isaiah Thomas wouldn't let the team die. Tyreke Evans wouldn't let the team die. And they played themselves back into a tight game with much superior competition on the other side in the Spurs. That one stuck out to me. I really enjoyed watching that one in 2013. My next game, February 18th, 2014. Toronto was on the road against the Washington Wizards. Again, Kyle Lowry and John Wall going back and forth in this one. A really nice duel between those two. 24 points for the winner, Kyle Lowry. They won 103-93. You had three lead changes in this one, so this one was actually more back and forth. 22 points for John Wall. He also had 7 assists. You had Gortat with 18 and 11. And Bradley Beal, quiet night for him. He had 9, but you still had the Wizards kind of making a push for the game. DeMar DeRozan had 14 points. again, I really, you guys know, I love Kyle Lowry. And so this was a few years ago, 14. It was young Lowry, and the Lowry-DeRozan duo was kind of just starting to get traction. And I really love watching Kyle Lowry play 2 for 5 from the 3 range. This is when young Colton started finding his love for Kyle Lowry and really started watching Toronto basketball. I've always enjoyed watching Toronto basketball just because I love Kyle Lowry, to be honest with you guys. But I remember this game stuck out to me when I was thinking back about games out of the All-Star break. This one stuck out to me because this was one of the first few seasons where I really started to enjoy watching Kyle Lowry and the Toronto Raptors. I know, crazy, right? The Minnesota boy enjoyed watching Kyle Lowry, but that's just where it started for me, and that's one of the games that stuck out. Another one, and I have two more of these before we get into get back to the present and get back to expectations. This one is a while ago, 2009, February 14th. 2009, going deep into the old history here, for at least for my NBA memory. But again, San Antonio Spurs on the road against the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks won 112-107. 21 lead changes in this one. It required an OT with a 10-5 score for the New York Knicks in the overtime minutes. And Nate Robinson, my man, the dunk champ Nate Robinson, 32 points, 10 rebounds for one of the shortest players in NBA history. Nate Robinson throwing it down, 38 minutes off the bench. Huge contribution in this game. I'm not going to lie to you, I always enjoyed watching Nate Robinson play. He has that attitude that you have to have when you're a short guy in the NBA, of really just blindly believing that you're still better than everybody else, even though you're the shortest guy on the court. And he was throwing it down that day. You had Tim Duncan, 26 points, 15 rebounds. You had Mason Jr. with 20 points, 6 rebounds. It was a solid game from the San Antonio Spurs, but just a tremendous performance from the Knicks in New York. Great crowd there, obviously. That one stuck out to me just because I'm a little bit biased to Nate Robinson. You got to feel for the guy. You got to feel for the short guy in the NBA who's still able to throw down, still able to jump around and make plays. 32 points, monster performance from him. This was a really fun game. This was a really great back and forth with the 21 lead changes, 19 times the game was tied, pushed all the way into OT, and I don't know. I was a really fun game looking back on it. How old was I at the time? I was 14 at the time, and just a fun game to watch. 4 for 8 for Nate Robinson from downtown too. You got him bombing from everywhere and really playing well in the paint as well with the 10 rebounds. Fun game to watch. I really enjoyed that game. The last game, going way back, 2008, February 19th, 2008, you had the Boston Celtics, who would eventually, and I watched basically every game of this season because that was the year. Of course, 2007, the Garnett goes to the Boston Celtics, and me, myself, growing up in Minneapolis, being a little kid at the time in Minneapolis when they traded him, or not at the time when they traded him, but being a little kid when Garnett was really grown into relevance early in like 2001, 2002, 2003. I was a little kid in Minneapolis, and so I loved KG. And so when he got moved to the Celtics, I watched every single game of that season and actually the next few seasons of KG in Boston, because I still am a huge Kevin Garnett fan. Loved him at the time, still love him now. And so I was watching every drop of the 2007-2008 season right up to the championship. And so this one I vividly remember. Especially, I was disappointed because out of the break, Boston lost on the road 124-118 to the Denver Nuggets. 6 lead changes. This was a great game because you had the duel, 24 points from Paul Pierce going up against Carmelo Anthony. He had 29 points. You had Allen Iverson with 28 points. Kevin Garnett, not a great showing from him with the 4 points, 8 rebounds in 20 minutes. But Ray Allen with 20, 22 from Rondo. Just a fantastic – this was such a fun game to watch. And so many guys just bombing from deep too. It really was kind of almost a predictor, at least for – if you were watching the Celtics, it really kind of projected what you'll see later on in the NBA, because you had Pierce with 2 for 6 from range, 4 for 11 from Allen, 11 for 33 from range on the whole for the Celtics. And then Carmelo Anthony, Allen Iverson, of course, on the Denver Nuggets. Tons of stars in this game. Really great watch. It was a blast. I remember watching this game being super disappointed, but at the same time, not, because you walked away from a great game with a ton of star power that really performed up to the hype leading into that game, and that was a lot of fun. A little trip down memory lane there. Those were some top games, just thinking back, coming out of the All-Star break. Hopefully you're jazzed up now. You're excited. What's going to be the next great game coming out of the All-Star break tonight? You have Brooklyn at Charlotte, New York at Orlando, Washington at Cleveland, Philadelphia at Chicago, Oklahoma City at Sacramento, and the LA Clippers at Golden State. So which one of these games is going to be one that really sticks out to you and really locks into your memory bank after the All-Star break? I don't know. I'm excited for it. I hope it jazzed you up as much as it jazzed me up. We're going to take a quick break for sponsors before we get into our last topic of the day. So I'm going to bring it back to the present. Took a little trip down memory lane for myself. Hopefully for you guys, it was able to jar your memory. It makes you think, have some good memories of coming out of the All-Star break, some games that you watched. But now we're back in the present. 2018, Timberwolves are 36-25. They're locked in to the fourth seed in the Western Conference right now. Expectations for this team. Right away, tomorrow night, Friday, the 23rd, they're going to be on the road against the Rockets. And then Saturday, they come right back home on the back-to-back and play Chicago. And host against Zach LaVine. First time Zach LaVine's been home since he was traded to Chicago. Same for Chris Dunn. And Zach LaVine is going to be he has been hot as of late. He has looked really good. He's averaging 16.9 points. He's looked very solid, an electric scorer. He has done really well in the uptick in shots that he has gotten. He's averaging, I believe it's 21 shots per game now. Shot attempts, per game, and he is looking very good in this Chicago offense right now. I really hope that this All-Star break revamped the Timberwolves, because Chicago, I don't know if this is going to be, I think that LaVine is really going to be feeling himself. I know that he's not a great defender, and I still stand by that you keep Wiggins instead of LaVine, but LaVine is going to come out and he's really going to want to torch the Timberwolves. He's really going to want to show up in this game. The Rockets are a really tough road game for the Timberwolves. And then they're going to be on the road against Sacramento on Monday. And so that'll be their easiest game of the first three back. This will probably be the easiest one, where they are playing Sacramento on the road. And then to start out March, they're on the road against Portland. That's not going to be an easy game. You always got to worry about the backcourt of Lillard and McCollum for Portland. And on the road, not exactly the easiest place to play in Portland. So this first four-game stretch, you're going to be playing a team in the Bulls that's not a playoff team, but you have LaVine and Markkanen, who I think are really going to be gunning to show up against the Timberwolves. And then you, of course, the Rockets and Portland are two playoff teams, and those will be tough. And then you're playing the Celtics later on, Golden State later on in March. You really need this defense to show up. So as far as expectations for the Timberwolves, getting down to brass tacks here, You need the defense to show up and be back. You need December Karl Anthony Towns to be back in this lineup, not only offensively but defensively. What he was doing against the in the paint and on the glass in December, really sticking to guys, not biting on pump fakes or getting caught up in screens. Really playing tough, dedicated defense. Really playing consistently and playing hard. Really showing a lot of effort. And this goes right into what you need to see from Wiggins too. Effort every single night, not effort in the spotlight games on defense particularly, is going to be really important for this team, because they're going to be playing some really good offenses and they're going to be playing some really tough teams, not only for this first half a month stretch, but really the last 21 games of their season are going to be just a trudge against solid opponents. And so they have to show up every single night, because you can't drop a game against the Chicago Bulls, because they're playing too many good teams to drop the ones where you're playing a bad team. So they can't drop a game against the Chicago Bulls or the Sacramento Kings, because you're playing so many of the Rockets, the Trailblazers, you're playing so many games against the Celtics, the Warriors. When you're playing a bulk of good teams, you can't drop. You shouldn't drop them anyways, but you really can't now. So they need to play really consistent defense. Talked about this with Tim the other day as well. Expectations for Wiggins, you really need to see him reboot here. I think coming out of December when he had that slump, you wanted to see January be the reboot month. And for about 2 weeks, he looked really good. And then he kind of slumped back again for the end of January and the beginning of February before the All-Star break. He's been on break now for about a week. He needs to come out and really look good. Really look good. Because that's kind of the piece that has been the shakiest, I would say, for the Timberwolves. Jimmy Butler's been solid all year. Towns has looked really good as of December, and he's slipped on defense in January, but he's still been a great offensive piece. He's still definitely, I would say, the second option on this team. And Teague, for his downside, has been better more often than not. And then he's had the trouble coming off the injury, but more often than not, he's been better. Jamal Crawford, you know what you're getting in him. The defense isn't great, but the offensive upside, you know what you're getting in him off the bench. Tyus Jones has been great. Wiggins has been their shakiest piece as far as the guys you need to perform. He's been the shakiest piece by far. And so he needs to come out and have a really great 21 games. Show us that he is going to perform in the playoffs and show us that he is going to be a reliable piece in the playoffs. That's something you need to see. The other thing too, and this is just a personal thing, because Jimmy Butler is going to be good no matter what. But personally, I think he's really going to make a push. I think he's really going to make a push for the MVP, not only because he wants the Timberwolves to finish well, but I think he sees this as a time for him to put the team on his shoulders and really carry a lot of the load again. I would attribute him not playing the All-Star game less to the partying that a lot of people estimate the NBA players to do over All-Star weekend, and more to the idea of him really being all into the end of the season. And with him being all into the end of the season, I think that he can make a legitimate MVP push here in the last 21 games for the Timberwolves. I anticipate him putting up some monster numbers, maybe even bigger than the ones he put up in December, and him really showing the league why he should be a top three MVP candidate for the NBA come the end of the season. So those are some of the things that I am anticipating for the Timberwolves. We'll have a podcast tomorrow really going in depth on the Timberwolves versus the Rockets game, them on the road, and then looking ahead at the weekend, go more in depth on those games. I just wanted to broad scope what I'm anticipating, a couple things I'm anticipating about the Timberwolves season coming up here. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. A little bit of a trip backwards down memory lane, at least for me. I hope you enjoyed reminiscing with me a little bit. And as always, I really appreciate you guys listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.